Well, let me add my good morning to you. I have to tell you, it's always exciting to me when Elsie Mokoban is with us. Elsie is so quiet. Elsie is so reserved. And she's just so peaceful inside about, you know, she just wants to be kind of quiet and reserved and not talk a whole lot about Jesus. So not Elsie. Elsie is absolutely in love with Jesus Christ. And so when you're around Elsie, you sense her presence. You sense the presence of the Lord. You sense her excitement. And you can't help but be moved, I think. She's here today. She's been serving with InterVarsity for many years. And she's here with Theo, her husband, and her daughter Carissa. And we're very, very thankful to have her with us. And so this morning we want to have her come up and join us in a conversation. Will you welcome her, please?
Good morning, sister. I miss you.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, my God.
How long has it been since you've been with us?
Wow. I came first to this church in 1983 as I started working for IBM. And so that same year, actually, just a couple of weeks after I started working for IBM, I was looking for a church because I used to attend church in New York City. So a friend of mine just introduced me to Grace. And from there, God became real to me. Mm. And it was at Grace in the December of 83 that I gave my life to Jesus.
December of 1983,
yes.
You gave your life to Christ.
Jesus, yes, and was baptized right here at this church. Yes, that's right.
So what happened after that?
So right there, I get involved in the college and career ministry here at Grace, and it was a great blessing to me because I saw so many young adults were on fire for Jesus. Hmm. And their fire just getting to me. So it was a blessing, and I learned so much, and I felt God call to really to go out and be a blessing to college-age students.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's what happened by 87. Actually, just even 2 years before that, I knew God was calling me. So I planned to leave IBM and go to seminary.
So you went off to seminary after receiving Christ at Grace.
Yes.
And where did you went to?
I went to Gordon Conwell Seminary in Massachusetts.
And after you finished up at Gordon, where did the Lord take you then?
It was just amazing. The Lord knows our heart, and He knew that my heart was for college students, you know, that age group. And InterVarsity came right at the campus, at the seminary, to interview people. I was just about a couple of months from graduation. You know, myself, I was also open to go overseas, to serve with any other organization, you know, but the Lord has His plan. So they were there on that at the seminary that day. I didn't even know they were there. So I just happened to look at the newspaper of the school, and I saw, InterVarsity is here. And InterVarsity, I remember, works with college students because when I was in college, I used to drop by, you know, at that time. So I remember them, and I asked, is there a chance to have an interview? They said, yes, there is an opening at noontime. I was already dressed up to the graduation picture.
Okay.
So
I
went, and that's how the connection was made, and it was just the beginning of, it's been 27 years.
So you were already dressed up. You were going to go to the graduation party. You were going to get a picture
for graduation. That's
goodness. So you did your interview, and then where'd you end up going from there?
So from there, God sent me back to New York City because that's where I sort of grew up. I came to New York City at 16 years old from Haiti. So I went to high school there and college in New York City, computer science. I felt God was sending me back there because there were many college students from the Caribbean, from, you know, international students. You know, they were just right down my block where I grew up. So I felt a need to go back to that group of students. So that's where I started ministry with InterVarsity at Brooklyn College of the City University of New York.
Okay, now you're not at Brooklyn College anymore.
No, I'm all the way in Florida.
Now how'd you end up in Florida?
That's right. And I have to say, before I end up in Florida, that's how I was overseas. I used to take students overseas with InterVarsity during summertime.
Okay.
And one summer, I was in Tunisia, with a group of students, and that's how I met my husband. And my husband is Theo. He's originally from Central African Republic, but he was working in Tunis. And we went to a small little church. It's a 98% Muslim country. But there's a small little church, Baptist Church for internationals. And that's where I took my group of students there on that Sunday, and he was there at that church, you know. So that's how we met, you know. So it was amazing. I never thought of a long-distance relationship or just overseas that God...
So you went over there not expecting to meet your husband.
Yeah, that's why. I was there for my work. I was there to take the students and get them trained, get them see something different, right. Get them exposed to the Muslim world and know that our God is a mighty God, is able to penetrate even that world.
Mm.
Yes. So that's how, you know, that's the reason I was there. So, but God has his plan also. So I end up returning there another time, and then finally I did a 2 years with InterVarsity overseas in Tunis.
Okay.
Yeah, in Tunis, and then my daughter was born there. My daughter was, so.
Is that the story?
That's yeah.
Just making sure. Kristen, you're okay with that? It's all fit. Okay, we just want to make sure.
I could have added more to it, but I don't want
to. You decided not to. They're shaking their head. I need to add more. Wonderful. So then you were in Tunis for a couple of years. Then you came back to the States, and you've been in Florida ever since,
for
right?
Yeah, we came back. Carissa was only 4 months, and actually we came back here. It was the other church building.
Okay.
We came back with Carissa there at 4 months old. You know, it was amazing, the reception, the blessing that we had received from Grace at that time. It was just, you know, mind-blowing. It was, that's what I always remember about Grace, is the hospitality, okay. The love, the caring, the warm welcoming. That's what had kept me at Grace.
Yeah, you've had that sense of community even as you've been away.
That was a blessing. So when we came back to New York City first for a year, as I needed help for my mother to care for Carissa while I'm doing ministry also. So, and then it's good to have mothers. It's good to have mothers alive who can be really big help to you. So I'm very thankful. I was very blessed to have my mother in New York City while she was baby. So, and then after that, about a year, when she was a year and a half, we moved to Florida. I felt called to go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
There was an opening first at Florida Institute of Technology.
Okay.
That school has a large group of Muslim students from Pakistan, from Saudis, from every places. So I felt, you know, God had equipped me for the 2 years in Tunis, you know, among Muslim. My heart was to reach out to them, and there was no greater opportunity than reaching them here in this country. You know, especially on a college campus, where we have the freedom to do that. Over there are things you cannot do. You cannot hand a Bible to somebody, but there you can. We are table right by the cafeteria.
And
we
so it's strategically important that you minister in a college setting.
In the college setting, because there are students from all over the world, and they are going back to have a big impact in their countries. So it was home for me. I love it, you know. But FIT was at a good distance from my house, almost an hour commuting. And evening, 10 p.m., I'm on the highway driving back home. I was thinking and I'm praying. I said, is there another school nearby?
Okay.
And closer to my house? And the school that was closer, it was a community college. And for the years past, InterVarsity has always been on the major campuses.
You know,
most of the major campuses. And they were just about starting to think about the community college.
Okay.
So myself, I know it's possible to reach them, even though they are... Their lives are full, and they are busy. They are everything. Some of them have children. Everything is happening. But they still need God. So I was totally convinced of that. So I asked my director to send me there. I wanted to go to that school that was in my area. And it's a fairly large community college with 5 campuses. And there was no Christian ministry on that campus.
Really? Were they opposed to it?
No, just... it's not so much. It's because there was not a staff. The students are so, you know, transient.
So there was no worker.
No worker. Yeah. No worker. There were some students, there were pocket of students who were trying to have a Bible study. It will take hold for one semester and then or one year, and then the leaders left, graduated after, so nobody else to carry on. There was the name of the Christian club was in the book, of the club book, but there was no meeting happening for that whole year.
So you awakened.
So I just felt that God, you know, it was good to go there, and God just make a perfect arrangement. And I met a student who used to be involved, and that student just bring some other students, and we God lead us to have a chapter of InterVarsity.
And how long have you been at that
school? We just celebrated 15 years.
15 years from a ministry that wasn't even, was just listed in the directory.
That's right.
And you kind of, you went and you awakened that ministry. God was at work there.
The ground was already ready. So that's what God does.
Yeah.
The field is ripe for harvest.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of us going there
and
listening to God's voice and listening, praying. You know, and let him direct us. So I think that's exactly what happened. And I'm glad I did that, because even though I love FIT, Florida Tech, you know, I felt it was, you know, good connection with the Muslim student, but because of the distance and the young kids, so I felt the necessity to start something nearby. Yeah. And it was good that, you know, I said, it's not impossible with God.
No.
You know, it's not impossible.
No.
So that was a big blessing. So we started the ministry, and now we are on all the 5 campuses. You know, sometimes we have 12 small groups going on, Bible study going on per week. You know, all the activities going on. So I have some pictures. I want to show some.
Yeah, show us.
Yes, that's right. So let's see what
you hit that plus button.
That's right. So this is one group of students, all ROSC students at camp. So that was just 2 years ago, that one. And we usually take them to camp for a whole week after their finals. So sometimes some of them is their first time stepping out of their community. So it's a big opportunity, you know, to minister to them. I'm not the only one ministering to them. It's a camp for the whole state of Florida. So there will be a lot, like 30 other staff.
So InterVarsity is sending students from all their different chapters.
That's right.
To this camp.
To this camp.
Okay.
Yeah, for the summer. And usually it's like a 2 weeks back to back. So school goes according to the time that fit them.
And how do they pay for that? How do they?
Well, we have to raise scholarship. Okay. I always engage in raising scholarship, because I believe if God wants them to go, they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what it takes, I will go. I'll knock at any doors to make sure that they get there. And then they don't have transportation. They don't own a car. It's the family car that they use. The parents drop them to school, all kinds of stuff like that. So they need transportation. So we will get a bus, whatever it takes. And that's what it's all about, the gospel, is whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So we just give God thanks. This is the vision of InterVarsity, is to say that students are transformed and campus are renewed and world changers are developed.
And are you seeing that play out?
Yes. Oh, yeah. God has been working marvelously all the way to having world changers. It's just amazing that a student I met that first year, her name was Sarah Hussein. Sarah Hussein, because her father was from Pakistan and her mother was Caucasian. And I met her in the cafeteria of that school, and she was sitting by herself. She was first homeschooled, and then she was taking a class on the campus. She came around 2 p.m. when everybody's already gone from the cafeteria. She was very shy, very quiet. She had her lunch bag, opening up. Myself, I'm passing by to the cafeteria. I'm always paying attention. And I saw her sitting by herself on the corner. And because of the way she looks, I said, she should be somewhere from the Middle East. So that caught my attention. She resembled a Tunisian to me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just went to walk toward her. I say hello, and I'm getting to know her, and she's open up to me. She's telling me, yes, her father is Muslim, her mother background Christian, but it's hard in the household. The father became very, very strong in his belief lately, and I'm listening to her because I can understand her because I've been living in Tunisia. And she said, and then she pulled up the fish sign, the cross, not the cross, the fish sign, she put it was inside. She said, I kept it inside because the moment I walk inside a house, I better have it inside. Mm-hmm. Because my father will just, you know.
So she had already professed Christ.
Yes, she had already professed Christ.
But she had to hide that from mom and dad at home.
And also she had no community of young adults. She couldn't, you know, there's no community outside mm-hmm. to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was even a time that the father didn't even want the mother to go to church. You know, all those kind of stuff.
Sure.
So being on campus was a blessing. So right there, I connected with her. I introduced her to the fellowship. She was excited. She was like a dry sponge, you know, found water. Uh-huh. It was amazing. She became the vice president of the club. She was very diligent. She was eager, thirsty for God. And then from then, after the 2 years, she went to a Bible college in Georgia. And right there, she met, there was a visiting professor, missionary, who originally from Pakistan, became a Christian, was there at the conference that she attended.
Uh-huh.
And they both fell in love, they get married. She's now in England, reaching out to Muslim in England.
Look at that.
With her husband.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
who could write that story?
It's amazing.
Only God. Write that story, but
it's
God.
Amazing. It's amazing. She has four children.
Uh-huh.
They have been there for, you know, more than 8-10 years.
So right from now. Sitting by herself,
yeah.
Just go over and you greet her, and yes. It kind of just snowballed.
Amazing.
And then God had something at work. He was doing in her life.
Yep, preparing her. And God had prepared her to enter varsity. A lot of involvement in her life. She was bold also. She was, at that time, that was our first year. She was the first student and the only student who went from that school to a camp all the way in the mountain of Georgia with enter varsity. She took a ride with some students who were coming from Miami that she had never met.
Mm-hmm.
10 hours driving.
Mm.
And I met her there.
Hmm.
She was my only student there that year.
That's pretty cool.
That's a boldness.
That is a boldness.
I love her. I mean, she's amazing. It was just incredible. And then she went to all the other university conferences and training, you know, just in the 2 years before she transferred.
So just in that one young lady's story,
yes.
you've seen this. The vision statement of InterVarsity
absolutely.
Play itself out.
Yes, yes.
And I suspect you're seeing that
in
other students,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's right. God is constantly at work. We give him praise. Hopefully, I get that right. Okay, that's. I will get to another student to you, but I'm just showing some pictures of outreaches we do on campus. You know, when school starts, we are outside. We are, because the idea, we cannot wait for them to come to us. We have to go to them.
Mm.
You know, so we are on the open air, you know, giving out whatever. Sometimes we give cold bottle of water, cases of water, because it's hot in Florida. So August, you just bring a cold bottle of water and a Bible.
Okay.
So that's we give the living water also. So that's us. We're full of joy and always exciting. You know, let them reach out, train them how to reach out to other students. You know, because with the students signing up, then we are able to have Bible studies. You know, and we're not ashamed of the gospel. We love to be outdoor and have prayer meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Students are playing guitars, you know, whatever is necessary. Yeah, this is another student who just recently gave her life to Jesus, and I love her because she's growing, she's beaming in Christ. Erica, a friend invited her last year to the fellowship. She was new student. This year is her second year. But she sat very quietly. You know, she's listening. We took her to a conference with us that was last May after finals. And she's always, during the year, she's always posting about anxiety attacks that she's been having. And we are praying for her. We are loving on her, caring for her. So we invite people in first to belong. And then we give them an opportunity to believe. Yeah, that's right. So it was amazing at that conference, at that camp in Ocala. So we are listening to her. She was still having anxiety attack and nightmare also. And we wanted to know what's the bottom of that. Where that I spent almost a full hour with her during the break time at camp and just reaching out and caring and listening. And really, I found out that it was a lot of abuse at home. She grew up in a very abusive home, you know, and that was causing her the anxiety and the nightmare. And it has for a long time. Yeah, so anyway, we pray for her, the student, love on her, care for her, you know, show her how Christ can bring deliverance and also forgiveness, you know, for what was happening and addressing the issues, you know. So we have seen her. She gave her life to Jesus at that camp, and she's been involved. Are you going to see her? You know, it's good.
That's okay. It happens to you all the time.
That's her sitting there in the middle, you know, in the Bible study. We have right in the cafeteria. So it's a great opportunity for her to go deeper in the Lord and release all those cares and anxieties and issues, you know, knowing that God is our healer. So it's a blessing. The students end up ministering to each other. So that's another thing I love. Iron sharpen iron. And just the same thing as we are in the church. We are iron sharp. I was sharp. I was being shopped by others in the fellowship, other young people my age. So I praise God for that. Yeah, that's right. So that's me with some of those young ladies that I love them so much. You know, there's another one right in the middle, the Caucasian, Sydney. She gave her life to Jesus recently, just this past August, at my house. You know, it was an amazing appointment also. She was to the point, she was in a desperate situation. She was in a desperate situation because the night before she went and get drunk and everything like that. And she called one of our leaders to come and pick her up because we are friendly with her, we love on her, she's been around us. But she's going through a lot of emotional issues. Her mommy died when she was young, her father had a hard time raising her, just difficulty. Yeah. There was a time she even checked herself at a mental health situation. So we always love her. She trusted us enough to call a student leader, one of our student leaders, to come and pick her up because she had left her car someplace else. So and then she asked the student leader, "Where are you going today?" I had a leadership meeting at my house just before school opened. The student leader told her, "We are going to Elsie's house for a leadership meeting." She said, "Can I come also?" The student said, "All right, no problem, come." So praise be to God. We were doing Bible study at the leadership meeting. We were praying, everything. And then there was a volunteer there. While we broke out for lunch, the volunteer, she sat with the volunteer. And she ended up having tons of questions. She's throwing questions at that volunteer. And that volunteer was Alex. He's very good. He's very sharp. He's a great evangelist. So while we went back to continue the leadership meeting, Alex stayed with Sydney for another hour. And then at the end of their conversation, while we are about to wrap up our leadership meeting, she ran into the living room and she said, "I got the Holy Spirit." She said, "I got the Holy Spirit." She was just amazed. She was overwhelmed with joy. I hope I had that picture to show you. She was just overwhelmed. And it was incredible. So we rejoice with her. We pray with her. We just, counseling her. Just, you know, it's like she becomes instant sister, total.
You know, that's such exciting stuff because it reminds me of the way the body of Christ is supposed to work.
Yeah.
You know, you have everybody melted together and they have different gifts.
Yes.
Different gifts and talents. And so some have that gift of mercy. And they just pour themselves out on this gal.
Yes.
And then and others have that gift of prayer and others have that gift of faith and others have that, and the whole variety of gifts.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then, so as you guys head off to your meeting, the person who has that particular gift, that gift to be able to share the word of God in a special way, that person, it works within their gift set and all together working for the benefit of this child.
Yes, that's why.
To see this child come to Christ. I love that picture.
It's just an amazing, myself.
All those people saying yes.
Yes.
Yes to, I'll serve in this way. Yes, I'll serve in this way. Yes, I'll serve in this way.
We have to be faithful to God. I think that's, it's very important to really listen to his voice. And he has blessed us with gifts, with spiritual gifts. Each one of us who are giving our lives to Jesus, you know, I've received at least one gift. And we need to know what God has given to us and be able to use it for his glory. So myself, I'm blessed. I'm very thankful that I know he has given me the gift of encouragement and the gift of faith. So I love to encourage the students. I love to believe the impossible, what they think is impossible. So and help them to see God is able to do it. So, you know, I just give God thanks. It's very important for us to say yes to God.
Mm.
Because, you know, first of all, there is nothing as no Lord. That doesn't go together. It's always yes.
There, no and Lord don't go together.
They don't go together.
Yeah.
It has to be yes. Yes. They don't go together.
That's right. It's hard to say he's Lord when you say no.
No, that's it. Either he's Lord or right. Yeah, he has to be. So therefore, and it's a constant yes
mm-hmm.
to all that he asks us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because and even when we don't understand, we have to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, my life has been a constant yes. Mm-hmm. The small steps, mm-hmm. what he wants, yes.
And has it always been a dramatic response?
Yeah.
To each of those yeses, does it always turn into something, you know, amazing and fantastic? And
sometimes it can be yes to something difficult.
Yeah?
Yeah, something that you don't even know what to do.
Give me an example.
Oh, my God.
Give me an example. Like, what's a yes to something that was difficult?
It could be, for example, when my daughter was young, yeah, there will be time, you know, she's not feeling great, but I had make a commitment, to meet with a student for something, critical. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been easier to say, okay, I'm just staying home, mm-hmm. you know, and she's not in a bad situation, but thank God my mother is mm-hmm. often home, you know, that kind of thing, but I could have just used that as, you know, mm-hmm. just said, I'm staying home. Mm-hmm. But and what happened, usually at those moments, I'm praying. I'm listening to God's voice. Mm-hmm. God, do you want me to go?
Mm-hmm.
God, what do you want me to do?
Tell me about that a little bit. Yes. Tell us a little bit about when you know, you're sitting and you're praying and you're asking God, lead me. How do you know? How do you know that it's his voice leading me?
That's a good question. I think for all of us Christians, we have to get familiar with his voice. We have to get familiar with it.
So how do you get familiar with it?
I would say the best way to start is to be in his word.
Amen.
Because he speaks through his word.
Amen.
If you are in his word, you will get familiar with his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that he's speaking through the word is not necessarily thing that you are thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But as you are reading the word, he's speaking to your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you are starting to learn to listen to his voice. You are mm-hmm. recognizing his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a difficult situation also, you address him. You can wait upon him. And he will bring you an answer or a direction, tell you a direction. That is something that you are not thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was not that you calculated yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You enter, you find your own formula. Mm-hmm. It was not from you. And many times, certain things I do on campus was not something that I sort of calculated by myself. God mm-hmm. said, just go and do that. God said, do that. I just feel in my spirit, this is mm-hmm. exactly what he wants me to do today.
So as you're spending time in the word, and I suspect you spend a good amount of time in the word of God.
Yes.
So as you're spending that time in the word, you're familiarizing yourself, not only the word, but you're understanding what it is your Savior desires of you, how he wants you to live as a free person.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And it sounds like the more you put into practice that which you see at work mm-hmm. in the spirit, you get more and more exercised at knowing his will and how he works in your life.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then what you hear when mm-hmm. you say, you know, I just know that's what he wants. That's, mm-hmm. It's in conjunction with the word of God.
Yes.
It won't be in contrast.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, will not. It will not go against the word. So
mm-hmm.
that's the reason you need to know the word mm-hmm. so that you can know what you are hearing. Does it go with his will?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there will also be peace, you know, that will follow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still in anxiety and worries,
mm-hmm.
that's not from God.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you think there's going to be that kind of assurance? That
assurance,
sense of peace,
peace, yeah.
This is okay.
Even if you don't know what the mm-hmm. outcome is going to be,
mm-hmm.
but you have peace about this. Mm-hmm. So I think I've seen him work that way, and it's always good because then you know you're in his will. You know you're making the steps that he wants you to do.
Are you different 20 years out in terms of your trusting of him?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how have you changed?
Oh God! God is a mighty good God. I don't think He leaves any of us unchanged.
Okay.
If we come to Him, and we are open to Him, He will bring changes. to our lives.
So, how does he do that? How have you changed? Because you've always been enthusiastic as long as I've known you. I mean, so what has he refined in your life?
I think what he has refined my life mostly is prayer.
Huh.
Yeah.
How so?
Prayer, you know, because for the past years, you know, before I've always believed in God and believe you go to him in prayer, that kind of stuff. But a life depending on him in prayer, you know, and that's what most recently, you know, he has led me. And what I've done is a lot of prayer work. You know, I have friends, you know, girlfriends, you know, so we go for prayer walks and we share and we are praying. We're praying for our own lives or for his calling in our lives. We're praying for our families. We're praying for the ministry. We just bring everything to the Lord in prayer. It's like a total dependence. We're praying for what he has called me for the day, for this day. Mm. So I pray for this day, what he has asked me to do for this day.
So that's one of the ways he's refined.
He's refined me,
and more dependence, upon prayer.
Upon prayer, on him, through prayer. So that because I know that's what I need in order to be on the track where he wants me to be. Otherwise, it's easy to be off track. It's easy to do things on your own. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go there. Yeah. If you are on your own, you are really in a problem.
Now, this dependence on the word and this dependence on prayer and to be listening to the Spirit's speaking to you and guiding, that's all stuff that probably shows up at the conferences, the InterVarsity conferences, right?
And that's why I'll show you some more pictures of that. That's it. This is usually we take a busload of students to conferences. So we love that. This was just a month and a half ago in mid-October. We were in Tampa. We took them 3 hours away. So that's all students from the school where I work. Mm-hmm. And then there were like 450 college students there for that weekend.
And you ride on the bus with them?
I had to be there a day early. So all the staff had to be there a day early. I would have done so. It's always, you know, it's noisy, it's a lot. You know, if you want to have a great experience, surely go in the bus with them. Yeah, but it's amazing. They love it. It's a joy to take them because InterVarsity is big on conferences, training students. Mm. Because that's how it's really a student-led ministry. So in order for them to do the work, to co-lead Bible studies on campus, you know, we have to train them. We have to take them to seminars. We have to touch different issues, you know, social issues. So at the conference, we can probably offer 20 different seminars that students will be choosing from. The staff will lead some of the seminars, you know, in-depth stuff, you know, that matters to their lives, you know. From money to relationship to social issues of the day, all kinds of topics, how to study the Bible, everything. So we are big on that. Yeah, so this one was I was just praying over my students, you know, at that conference, and that's inside the conference room in Tampa. So a lot of good time, good connection with other students from other school. In Florida alone, we minister to we have about 40 different schools that we have a chapter on.
Wow.
So that's really, really good.
That's a lot of students.
Praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. That was a group of them. I am among them there. You know, it was after a conference last year. So all of those are the students I minister to. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love them, and it's there. They just go wild after a conference. They are wild. And I love to be wild with them also.
What would that look like, Elsie, going wild?
I am there. I am there. You can find me. My hand is up there, going wild. I have a blue top, you know. It's a joy. I just love it because it's the excitement. You know, many of them, like at this past conference, 5 of our own students gave their life to Jesus. You know, and all the friends are rejoicing with them. Mm. You know, we know their lives have been changed. We know their cares. They have been able to lay their cares down. Mm-hmm. You know, this life is full of cares. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know Jesus, say, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find rest in this world.
Sure, you're not going to find that peace.
There is no peace without God. So therefore, that's the reason we rejoice. Mm-hmm. We rejoice because it's worth the whole thing for them. Mm-hmm. It's more than their career, their everything. Mm-hmm. is everything. And that's what Christ was for me when I accepted Christ in this church. It was it's been everything to me. So I just give God thanks. So we just want to thank the church here, because this church has been behind this ministry for the past 26 going to be 27 years this January.
Wow.
So it's just incredible. So it's exactly 30 years ago when I left this church to go to seminary. So
look what God has done in
this. This is what God has done, and this is what has look at what God has done with a stranger who had walked in this church 34 years ago. That's who I was, a stranger. I came from New York City. I knew nobody in this area. I came to work for IBM. I had no connection. I had not a friend yet. I had nobody. I was just meeting people at work. I live in the Le Catherine apartment, not too far from there. And then a friend, brought me to Grace. And I was warmly welcomed. I felt love. I felt appreciated. I was learning. I was growing in the Lord. And that's where it all started.
So I think what's so intriguing to me there, too, is that someone reached beyond the walls.
Yes.
And they invited you to you to come.
Yes.
And then the Spirit of God was already at work. It's not like it was a surprise to him. No. He knew. And then the word of God was at work in you, and the Spirit was at work, and you kept saying yes.
Yes.
Kept saying yes, yes, Lord, yes. I'm gonna respond to that. I'm gonna respond to that. And taking that invitation to come, you said yes to that. Saying yes to His presence in 83. Saying yes to the call to go into ministry, and that one little reaching out beyond the walls, in conjunction with what the Spirit was doing, was enough to multiply your impact for just endlessly almost. It's just amazing.
It's all God.
It is all God. He gets all the praise and the glory. And maybe that's where we should end on that note. To say, let's give Him the praise and the glory. Can we all bow our heads and pray together?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Father God, You are holy and righteous and just. You are awesome. And it's just so wonderful to hear how You've been at work, how You've worked in our sister, how you've grown her and drawn her into an ever-deepening and widening relationship with You, and how she continued to be willing to say yes, Lord, even I'm sure when there were times when she was probably a little anxious. And yet, Father, she has seen You again and again and again. Take that life that you changed in her, and You've taken that life and You've molded it, and You've used it for Your glory and Your honor. Father, we are blessed to have Elsie here with us. What a gracious gift it is to hear her speak of InterVarsity, to speak about the way You've been at work. And Father, just as she gives You praise for all that she's seen You do, we want to give You the praise and the glory and the adoration due Your holy name. So we entrust our sister to Your care and keeping. We entrust her precious family to You. We trust the students that she's going to minister to with the power at work in her.
Thank You, Jesus.
And Father God, we entrust her into Your hands, because there is no name greater, no power greater than Yours to whom we could ever entrust her. And we pray this in the precious name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elsie. Thank you.